better put him in the Heisman.
Got that wood right here, baby.
This is the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light, proud sponsor of Arkansas Athletics.
They're going to run and get that boot.
The Arkansas Razorbacks have completed the dream season.
A baseball team is on the way back. A College World Series title. The Bomb Stadium.
I almost got fired because I went Willie the Boss after I had a little too much sauce.
This is the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast.
It is a recruiting Thursday. Richard Davenport of the Arkansas Democrat Gazette is going to be joining us at 8 o'clock to talk a lot more recruiting and all the things going on this weekend with basketball and football. So we're really looking forward to catching up with him. But, you know, this is something that when recruiting Thursday comes up, I always want to have some sort of topic to talk about recruiting. I know that may seem like pretty obvious that on recruiting Thursday you want to talk recruiting. But, you know, one of the things, though, that I think is a legitimate question.
Yeah.
About Razorback football and the highs and lows that they had, which is not really any highs, maybe not a high, a medium and a low. But one of the things that people have brought up, they said, you know, Chad Morris and this staff does a really good job with recruiting. They do a good job with recruiting because they are out there all the time. They are doing everything, social media, all this stuff because of recruiting. It's all about recruiting. And they are going out and trying to get kids that normally wouldn't even consider Arkansas to get them to consider Arkansas. And they just understand how to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what's led to a lot of people having hope in Chad Morris more so than anything is his recruiting ability and his staff's recruiting ability, which is great. But at the same time, though, people have started to wonder, is recruiting taking precedence over actual coaching, over development, over teaching basic fundamentals and discipline, over trying to do the small details and what's costing this team a lot in these games, especially games like a San Jose State, where, you know, it's all about recruiting. Your coaches are out recruiting. Everybody's out recruiting. But at the same time, though, you still got to worry about what's going on the field and how important that is and development and all of that. And as young as this coaching staff is, other than, of course, John Chavis and Steve Caldwell, I feel like it's a legitimate question to ask, is it possible? Is it possible that recruiting is taking such a precedence, which it is important, do not get me wrong, recruiting is the name of the game.
Yeah.
But is it possible that maybe that's being focused on so much that the actual development and coaching is taking a back seat to that?
I think maybe with the 10 full-time assistants and the head coach, there's probably times, and I think it's like anything else in any of our jobs, there's seasons where you focus on one thing more than the other. Get your media guide out. I'm just talking in general. People get, you know, and look up, and I can get in here and look at it a little closer, but I'm telling you, there's more staff than there's ever been. So what does that matter? I'm just telling you, there's more. Who was it a couple years ago, Eric Mateos, that took over the offensive line when Arkansas found themselves without an O-line coach for a short period of time? It's because you had an assistant offensive line coach, not an assistant coach that coached an assistant to the assistant. And there's more of these type of staff positions than there's ever been in college football. So there's someone that's really helping it about every spot. So John Chavis has someone that helps him with the linebackers. And I mean, you know, Barry Lunny's got folks and just keep going. Dustin Fry on the O-line. I mean, every position. And that's how a lot of people break into the business. That's how they build resumes. My point to that is when a coach is out on the recruiting trail, it's not like there's nobody back at the shop tending to business. Now, is that a full and complete substitute for John Chavis and the 40-something years of knowledge he has in this league alone, or a Steve Caldwell or a Barry Lunny who's played in this league, coached in this league? No, I'm not suggesting that. But what I am saying is when a coach is on the road recruiting and it's at this time of the year when you're on a bye week and the coach might be away for a few days, particularly towards the end of a week as they go out to watch games and kids are playing mainly Fridays, but there's some that play on Thursday nights and a few that play on Saturdays, that there's still someone around. And there's other coaches that are on this staff coaching technique and watching film with them and making sure, you know, things go right. It's not just solely on that one position coach we think about, know about, that's doing 1,000% of the work. There's just more people around in today's college football, in the meeting rooms, in the film rooms, in all of these places, working with these players, building those relationships, than there were 5 or 10 years ago.
And the reason that they have so many staff members, because Arkansas has a bunch of, I was just looking at their website, and of course, I'm sure on the website, they don't even have all of them mentioned and all of them listed. But there is no doubt that you have to have two different tabs. You have a coach's tab, and then you have a support staff tab. And in the support staff, you just go through it all and go through these names. You know, most of them, you probably won't even know who they are. I've never even heard of them. And you see what their title is. For instance, you have a quality control for defense. Mm-hmm. You know, you have a graduate assistant. You have an administrative assistant to head coach, an administrative assistant to assistant coaches. You have assistant strength and conditioning coaches. You have assistant to director of football. I mean, you just have all these things where it's like you see that and you're like, okay, I could probably guess what that entitles, but you don't know really what all goes into it.
But there's other people that are on staff. Because when we've had the coaches golf tournament, I played with John Chavis's GA. And I said, well, what do you do? And he's a graduate assistant. He goes, well, I work with Coach Chavis. And he gave me the name of it. Some other folks who, and, you know, he said, basically, I do whatever Coach Chavis tells me to do. That's my first
fair
job.
That's fair.
He goes, but, you know, I help coach the players. You know, so listen, it still comes back to these 10 full-time assistants. They have to balance the workload, and it's on them to ultimately get it done, and that's why they're being paid the money to do what they do. And some of them are getting paid, you know, like a John Chavis, over $1 million. And all these assistants are well north of six figures. So, I mean, it really comes down to them. All I'm saying is, I don't know how much teaching and development's going on when these coaches are out on the road, and we're talking about a day or two period. This is also a time where players will be able to go home and spend a day or two for a weekend on a bye weekend. That's also built in kind of the schedule. You'll see players go and see, they have a brother that plays high school football, and it's drivable or easy to get to. Or they're playing on the road somewhere nearby within an hour or two. You know, you'll see some of these players go see some of their friends or former high school. So, you know, they'll get out of town a little bit this weekend. So it'll be a break for the players to get out of Fayetteville and be able to go do something, go back home, do something that they can't do on a normal weekend as well.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I understand you're talking about the balance between recruiting and the balance between development. Also got to remember there's more recruiting staff than there's ever been.
Oh, yeah.
People creating graphics and creating videos and making photos and doing all these things that go in to the recruiting effort now. I guess my point is there's more help with both recruiting and player development than there's ever been for the 10 full-time assistants.
And so let me kind of reverse that, because the fact that you do have more help is great. And I think that that's also one of the reasons why a lot of these programs elevate themselves, because, you know, you think Arkansas has a lot of guys. Check out Alabama's. If you ever have a chance, go and look at their support staff. It looks like a Fortune 500 company with the amount of employees that they have. I mean, it's ridiculous, but it's what leads to success. But what it also does, though, and I'm sure, Tommy, you've been in business a long time, I'm sure you can understand this reference, that the more people you have out there, the more people you have in your structure, a lot of times it's a lot harder to keep it all and everybody on the same page and keep them all with the same consistent message. And as good as you may be as the head guy, as the head coach, and as qualified and as great as your assistant coaches right under you may be, you know, you still have a lot of people to take into consideration that, and if you can misconstrue the message or get off the same page of like a lot of these guys have done, I'm not saying for Arkansas, but I'm just saying it happens in coaching.
Right.
It opens up a lot more opportunities for that whole miscommunication to be happening.
It's harder to keep your arms around all of it.
Absolutely.
And that's where a lot of times these coaches, and I believe like a Nick Saban, you know, just use him because he's probably the best example, the most successful coach in college athletics right now. Coach K would be another one. These guys are good enough administrators, motivators of people, understanding what makes the thing tick, whether it's people, whether it's a process, understanding the process, that they could go be the CEO of pick a company. Fortune 100 company type guy and be successful at that. If it wasn't coaching college football, they could be a very successful business leader.
A governor in some cases.
Well, I mean, bigger than that. I get what you're saying. Successful than that, you know, financially. So I'm just saying there's certain traits and skill sets that cross sectors of the workforce out there. And one of those is having the organization and having the ability to transmit your message and communicate that with everybody and keep your arms around that. And that's difficult for sometimes head coaches to learn because you think you're there to just coach football, or we think that. It's a lot more to it than that.
And what's concerning is that guys that were big offensive coordinators or defensive coordinators, just how big of administration role that they have to play, and some of them aren't able to do it.
Yeah. Hey, have you ever experienced transporting frozen and refrigerated goods and you want to be a part of a trucking family with insurance, be home every week? You need to contact Brent Higgins Trucking. They've been around since 1997. So for more than 20 years, they've been proudly delivering to and from various areas of the United States, but including not limited to Oklahoma, Texas, Louisiana, and Mississippi. Hey, if you're just a number where you're at now and you want them to know your name and value you for what you do for their company, you need to call Brent Higgins Trucking because they need people like you to join their team. Contact them today at 479-997-2366. That's 997-2366. Or apply online at BrentHigginsTrucking.com.
See, and that's the thing, is that as far as being a great manager of people is something that's really an underrated quality in a lot of coaches. And that's why if you look at the most successful coaches pretty much in any era, I mean, look at Frank Broyles. What was Frank Broyles amazing at? What made him a Hall of Fame caliber coach and also, in a way, a Hall of Fame quality athletic director?
He hired great assistant coaches.
He hired great assistant coaches that he could count on. He could get the message to them. He could manage them and administrate them the way that they needed to be successful. I mean, that's why there's a freaking award named after the guys, because he was so good at it.
And that's why he was a great athletic director. Correct. As well. One of his great qualities was his ability to build relationships with people and his ability to communicate with people. And that, you know, that went a long way for him, both as a coach and an AD.
Yeah. And that's a great quality in all the elite coaches that they have to have. And I mean, you bring up Nick Saban, I think he's that way. But even other people, like, I know he's had some off the field, but what made Urban Meyer to where everywhere he went, he won. I mean, everywhere he went, he won at a very high level, whether it was Utah, Florida, Ohio State, he did. And the reason he was able to do it is not because he was just some brilliant offensive mind. It was because he was good at hiring guys, he was good at managing guys, and he was good at getting the most out of his guys. Mm-hmm. And that's what makes great coaches. And in a lot of cases, a guy may be a fantastic offensive coordinator, maybe one of the best offensive minds in the country when it comes to things like that. But that doesn't automatically translate to being a great head coach because of the other responsibilities come along with it. It goes from when you're only responsible, okay, you just handle play calling, you handle drawing up plays, scheming, getting guys in position to be successful, some recruiting as well. But when it comes to actually handling all the other coaches, a lot of guys fall short. And that's why a lot of these, listen, look at all the coordinators that have been hired just here recently that you think of. Like, look at Jeremy Pruitt in Tennessee. Like, they have so many issues going on right now. They got players leaving the program. Mm-hmm. They got guys getting arrested, and then Jeremy Pruitt, which we want to talk about. But that does, just because he was great under Saban or great as a coordinator, does not translate to being a great head coach.
You could tell from his initial press conference.
Yeah.
He was scared to death to stand up there and introduce himself as the head coach. He did not have the communication skills even in that moment. Yeah. I remember how uncomfortable it was just listening to that. Well, I mean, how are you going to handle that team meeting? Made me wonder how he stood up in front of the defensive team at Alabama and got them to play. Made me think, well, he probably didn't. He
probably didn't, yeah.
He probably didn't. Nick Saban did that. You know, he didn't get that chance. So he was unprepared for the job he's now in. He didn't have enough at-bats to be doing what he's doing. And that's why more of these coordinators off the Saban tree that have come out of Alabama ultimately haven't worked out. And a few have, but more haven't than have. Kirby Smart has worked out.
Prime example.
But it's been a great situation. McElwain?
Not really.
Not really. You know, went to Colorado State and then to Florida. That didn't work out. There's some other reasons at Florida.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Lane Kiffin. You know.
has his moments.
Right. I mean, you just keep going through some of these guys that have been hired away from Saban. There's not as many successes as guys that have turned out kind of like what's going on now with Jeremy Pruitt.
Yeah. But a lot of people just think, oh, Alabama equates to success. Because, you want to compare Nick Saban, Bill Belichick the same way. How many Bill Belichick assistant coaches have been able to be successful? Not many at all. But it's because you're under a great administrator doesn't mean it's going to translate, and those people under him are going to become great administrators as well. A lot of cases, it means quite the opposite.
It's hard to duplicate ultra success like that.
No doubt. Let's go to the Cherokee Casino Hotline. Hong Kong Sui is in Russellville. What's going on, man?
Hey, how's it going this morning, guys?
Pretty good, man.
Hey, I think the answer to your initial question about recruiting versus development, you know, how are they spending their time, is really just as simple as this. Do we have enough talent to compete week in, week out in the SEC?
Not yet, you don't.
Exactly. So, therefore, if they're spending more time on recruiting than development, then they're doing their job. They should be spending more time. We need better players. Now, we've got some really good ones in their early returns from, Morris's recruiting strategy so far. Hopefully that continues. We need more, though, clearly. So, I don't know. To me, that's just – I know you're trying to figure out something to talk about on Recruiting Thursday, but to me, that's just as simple as that. We don't have the players yet. If we are spending more time on recruiting and development, then I applaud them. I know we got to develop our players, but we got to have players to develop. To me, it's just chicken and egg, and it's as simple as that. If you don't have the players, it doesn't matter how much you develop them; they're not going to be good. So,
yeah. But
anyway, I just pulled into work, guys, so I got to go.
Appreciate the phone call, Hong Kong Sui. But here's my point, though, and I know that this is not a direct comparison with Arkansas right now, but you've seen programs with coaches who recruited at the highest of levels. Kevin Sumlin at Texas A&M is a great example. The guy had top 5, top 10 recruiting classes year in and year out. But he was only going 7-5, 8-4, which I know, hey, if you're Arkansas, you'd love to take that now. But the fact of the matter is their expectations were a lot higher, and that's why they inevitably ended up firing him. You just, listen, recruiting's great, and you need to be recruiting, and it's the name of the game. But if you don't have the development and the management to go along with that, it doesn't matter how many great players you get in, because it's not going to translate. I mean, Butch Jones at Tennessee had a couple of great recruiting classes. It didn't work out. Gene Chizik at Auburn had some great recruiting classes. It didn't work out. I mean, I know that more often than not, if you have great recruiting classes, it translates to success. But there's a lot of cases, too, where if you have great recruiting, that's fine. But you got to remember the most important thing of developing and building and managing your team for success. And so that's my whole point. Is that you've seen examples where, as good as recruiting can be, if you don't actually coach them up, you're not going. It doesn't matter. You're still going to fail.
But how many times have you seen teams win a championship without a good recruiting class?
Again, I agree.
I mean,
I know.
So, I mean, Hong Kong Sui's talking about chicken or egg there. I think he's right. It's pretty simple. You got to have the players. And just because you have the players doesn't guarantee anything. But I think the reverse is pretty much a law. I mean, we just haven't seen any examples. If you can find me one, I'll back off. But I don't know of many championships won in the SEC, many national championships won in the BCS era or the college football playoff era by any team that didn't have at least a couple top 10 recruiting classes, and probably more like 3 or 4 in that span.
Yeah.
You better have some top 10 national recruiting classes to get started, and it just begins there. That's just the beginning of the opportunity to win at a high level. That doesn't guarantee anything. It's just the foundation of a championship program is some top 10 classes. Till you get to that point, it's very difficult to break in to the upper levels of college football.
Well, we all know that's going to be next to impossible. It's not impossible, next to impossible for Arkansas to ever break that.
But you got to start with one, And heck, you just like to start with the top 10 SEC class.
But can you get one at Arkansas, though? Can you get a top 10 class at Arkansas in football?
Top 10 conference or top 10 national?
National.
Of course, those may be one in the same,
honestly.
Yeah,
I'm about to say, it doesn't matter, really, but
pretty much. Yeah, I think it can happen, but it's going to be because things line up and you've got two or three or four stars in this state, or maybe more, maybe a five star in the state, and you get all those kids. It's because it lines up.
Mm-hmm. Well, listen, Arkansas's best recruiting class over the past 20 years was Bobby Petrino's year when he had all those wide receivers and all those in-state kids, so it's always helpful.
Hey, we are brought to you by World of Wireless, 877-305-DISH. Do you struggle for good internet at your home because you live in a rural area? I want to invite you to go to wowfastinternet.com. If you live east or south in the River Valley, live out towards Charleston, you live south towards Boonville, you live south towards Mansfield, that area, you can see Poto Mountain from your house. Go to wowfastinternet.com and find out if you live in the coverage area. They've got over nearly 50 towers, like 47 towers now in their network. It's fiber to air. So they put a small, about the size of a shoebox, antenna on your house, and it brings high-speed, unlimited internet to your house. So if you're tired of throttling, you're paying a satellite internet bill now that just keeps going up and up, they can help you with that. With no data caps, no throttling, no buffering on Netflix anymore, and your kids can play Fortnite till 3 in the morning, all right? 877-305-DISH for details, or go to wowfastinternet.com and find out if you live in the coverage area.
Is that your son? Is that what he would do, is to play it?
If we let him play games, if no one parented him, I went in there last night, had to take away some device at 9:15 last night. Nope, it's school night.
Man.
You have to inspect and inventory all the devices at bedtime. Yeah. To make sure one's not been tucked away neatly under the covers.
Do they have settings yet where you can like turn it off or have it turned off at a certain time or something like that?
Okay. Yeah, you can do that too.
Because listen, I don't have that issue.
Beyond me. So, but yeah.
I don't have that issue.
We'd let them. They just play it. They play it all night if we'd let them.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, listen, I can concur. When I was a kid, I was probably the same way.
Just test them limits.
Yeah. It's like you said, it's a school night. You can't be doing those things on a school night, for crying out loud. That's all I'm saying. But no, it's because there's sometimes too, as even as recently as a year or two ago, I would find myself going into
all right, it's bedtime. Give me all this stuff. I don't have anything. What's this then?
That's what I'm saying.
Oh, I forgot.
So you're pretty much like a police officer that starts pulls somebody over for speeding. You're like, have you been drinking tonight? No. I ain't got nothing. Do you have drugs in the car?
What is this?
Yeah. Then what is that? Oh, I
forgot about that.
No, that's not mine. I didn't put that there. That's what it sounds like to me. So,
but all I can ever think of, you know what would have happened to me if I'd have tried that when I was a kid?
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
You probably would have never saw it again.
Or sat down again.
Yeah. At least not for an extended period of time. Times have changed, Tommy. Times have changed. In case you didn't know.
Maybe not for the better.
Yeah. Well, sometimes, you know, with kids, hey, listen, I was that way, and I wasn't even, I guess I'm technically classified as a millennial, but that's how I had to do it.
Are you still there? It's your birthday now. It's your happy birthday to John Neighbors today, by the way.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Yeah, I'm the
38?
No, I read at the 31 level. But yes, I'm 31 years old today, which, by the way, I have, my birthday's known for, more famously, for two things.
What is it?
I have the clips for them. I have to play them later. But just know it's for a quote from Mean Girls, the movie.
Yeah.
And O.J. Simpson's verdict.
Ah.
So glad I could be sharing those famous moments.
And it's the day before Derek Ruskin's birthday.
Well, by God.
Well, yeah, there you go.
Now it's really something special. More of the Morning Rush coming up next.
You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light, proud sponsor of Arkansas Athletics.
Everybody's staying home. Now he does a tightrope act. Boy, Houdini's in the house. We're at number 3. And nobody's home to watch that house. Touchdown, Hogs! Holy Hog!
Let's go to the Cherokee Casino Hotline, 877-377-6963. General Ben's on the phone. What's going on, General Ben?
Big John, happy birthday, John.
Well, thank you.
Now you know why I kept my day job.
Well, thank you, General Ben. I appreciate it, my man.
And for those who hadn't even been conceived yet or wouldn't even been thought about, but when that song come out in about the late 50s or 60, 61, 62, something like that, that was Jimmy Dean, if y'all have ever heard of the Sausage Guy, that was a country music singer, and that was his number one hit, Big Bad John.
Well, now I know. I learned something today.
Yes, sir. Well, you won't get another happy birthday wish like that one, and you're probably glad. On Instagram, Internet, Twitter, Tutor, or Facebook, or whatever. But anyway. But it's amazing. Sure hope I can keep this, yeah, I'll keep this G-rated, at least PG, but it's amazing how many people are born, were born in the month of October, because when my son's birthday is October 6th, one of my five sons, and then I'm born, and my birthday is October 19th. And when I say that, you know, my birthday, you know, whatever, they say, oh, well, I got a somebody kin to them, you know, or themselves or whatever, born in October. And a lot of people have asked me, said, General Ben, said, how come so many people are born in October? I said, well, I don't know about year, you know, any other year, but I said, I know in 1951, January, 9 months earlier, it's cold, a lot of snuggling going on in January, especially back when they didn't have TV and lived in two rooms and a bath, and then moved to Little Rock a couple years later with three rooms and a bath. So I'm just saying, there's a reason why so many people are born in October. But anyway, after all that mess and malarkey, just thought I'd, is it okay if I switch it to Razorback football?
Please, please do.
Yes.
I know. Listen, oh boy, we're taking too much time, so I have to make this short, which if I do, it's a miracle from God, proves he may perform miracles every day. But bottom line, I'm concerned about the refereeing. And I know people say, well, you old guys always complain about the refs, yada, yada, yada. But I've heard some real important prognosticators of Razorback football this past week, or at least early in the week, talk about key holding calls where, like, four guys might be holding one of our guys is fixing to make the tackle or whatever, make a sack or something, and just think keys of the game against Texas A&M where the refs didn't do their job, didn't call holding and went against us or whatever and all that. And I'm looking for a close game against Kentucky, but if they call the game look like the way I've seen it and a lot of other people have seen it, even the important, knowledgeable folks, I don't believe we beat them if the refs call the game the way they did the game in Jerry's Palace and close to Dallas there, you know. And I definitely think we got a chance to beat them. They got quarterback problems. We got problems covering the pass, but I don't think we'll definitely overlook them, and we'll be ready, you know, mentally. And they got a great crowd, I hear. You know, they don't win very many games in some years. So, anyway, just with all the X's and O's and Jimmy's and the Joes, just tell me what y'all's opinion is about it. Seems like we can't get any breaks in our football games when it comes to calls, even when it's, you know, at our place or neutral or their place or whatever. So anyway, appreciate letting me get all that out. So that's my concern. Let me hear you on the phone. Appreciate it.
All right. Appreciate it, General Ben. You know, I want to unwrap from that, but you know, as far as the officiating and all that, I mean, we discussed this earlier this week that, yeah, there were some bad calls. Let's just be honest about it. And here's the thing, and I don't mean this in a jerk way at all, but if I'm watching a game with Tommy Kraft and Tommy Kraft says it's a bad call, then I know it's a bad call. I'm just saying that. Because, and I'm not saying that Tommy does it just to defend the officials, because if he sees a bad call, and Tommy will be like, hey, that's a bad call. You'll admit it.
No, I mean, so I think I'm fair. I think I have a more trained eye, and I take a more unbiased view on some of this stuff. I don't get as defensive as Clay said I was earlier this year. I just think there's a lot of folks that don't understand what's actually going on in either a key or the reasoning why things are happening the way they're happening out there.
Yeah.
And there's a certain reason. It's not, you know, a lot of people where you just revert back immediately, well, they're out to get your team. Officials aren't out to get your team. They're out to get the call right on tape because that's the standard they're held to, ultimately. I mean, that's how they're graded and that's how they keep their job, because it is a very competitive vocation where they're making thousands and thousands of dollars to do these games. And they're getting to work on TV, and it's at the highest levels, and they don't want to lose that opportunity.
Yeah.
And the way you keep it is to get the calls right. When you get the calls wrong, they fire you.
You don't have a job.
I just don't understand how people don't understand that, but I guess it's because I've never worked at that level, because I you know, never went down that path, but probably couldn't get enough of the calls right.
Yeah.
You know, and it takes a lot of training and a lot of time and a lot of dedication to do that. and you got to spend a lot of time on it. I just don't buy, I never have, and I never will buy into the theory that officials are out to get a particular team or help a particular team. Sorry, I don't buy into that.
No, and that's the thing is after, you know, just doing some research on it and learning a lot from, you know, some of the things that go on with officiating too, is that, you know, if there are calls, there are bad calls, there are repercussions. I mean, it's not like they're just...
There is accountability.
Yes, exactly. And so...
So back to Ben's comment about holding. Two things about holding. There are particular boxes you're looking to check that, you know, that they define and train and send video out as to what they want officials to call and what they use. And there's a term that's used in officiating called foul threshold. This meets the threshold of what a hold is, or what defensive pass interference is, or what pick the foul. This is what it is, and this is what it isn't. Here's the threshold it needs to cross. And one of the key things about holding is it needs to be at the point of attack. And what that means is if the ball's going right and the hold's on the left, we're not calling holding here as an officiating crew. We said, but he's holding him. Well, it doesn't affect the play because nobody wants to watch a game with 40 flags. And you could, in people's mind, they think if you have your hands on someone's jersey and have it in, you know, inside, that's holding. Well, that's not necessarily holding. But one of the key things that has to clear the foul threshold is, was this action at the point of attack on the play? And that's one thing as we watch the games together here, you know, and you're watching the game on TV and I'm watching it on my TV, and you're seeing something you don't like, was this where the ball was headed? Was this at the point of attack? Was this in advance of the play where the defender you think is being held is in a position to make a play out in front, not behind it, not to the left when the play's going right? That's one of the critical things that officials are looking at on these plays. Keep that in mind.
Well, see, and again, that's why I go along with just, you know, when and learning some of these things, because, listen, I don't know. I don't know what goes on with officiating and stuff. So I just like
another term, material restrictions. They're looking at their feet. Are there
no
feet
idea what
outside,
that means?
You know, well, it's pretty. It's like I said.
Yeah.
Is the material? Is the jersey being restricted? Is their framework? Is their feet beat in? They're outside of the framework. Generally, if I'm square up on you and my hands are inside and we're square on each other, they're not calling holding. You know, but here it is. Did it have an effect on the play? That's one thing you really got to look at. Did it really affect the play? And that's hard when you're making that judgment in a fraction of a second. It's not as easy as you think it is when you're at home watching it in super slow-mo, high def from three angles. Guy out there on the field gets one look, real time, and might have to be looking through two other bodies because players were in between him and the play. You don't always get a great look because bodies get in the way. That's just the reality. That's the reality you face, and they've got more officials on the field now than they've ever had before in college football. You got eight guys out there. So you're centered in, you're keyed in on particular positions to try to get all of these plays right. And that's all they want to do is get it right. So they can advance and move on and get better games. That's it.
There you have it. There's the explanation for you from the man himself, Tommy Kraft, dealing with officials. So again,
but as one of my buddies just take it, you're never going to win this argument.
No,
I understand,
you're not.
Robert. I'm not going to win this argument. I'm just trying to explain it.
I know.
General Ben asked, there's the answer.
Old man yelling at a cloud, pretty much, is what's going on there. But, all right, let's go ahead and jump into your Hog update here on The Morning Rush.
Arkansas football. It's the players running through the A. Hog hats. It's more than 70,000 fans calling Woo Pig Suey.
It's a great day to be a Razorback.
Guys, I've got just one thing I want to say to you.
Touchdown, Arkansas!
Arkansas wins the back door championship! The Arkansas Razorbacks have completed the dream season!
This is your Hog Update on The Morning Rush.
All right, it is time for your Hog Update presented by Ozark Sportsman Supply.
Hey, this all starts tomorrow. It's Glock Days at Ozark Sportsman Supply, one of the biggest events they have every year with some of the best prices and the lowest prices you're going to find. And it's only once a year for 2 days only, tomorrow and Saturday at Ozark Sportsman Supply. All Glock models will be on sale for this two-day event, but hurry in. Last year they sold over 60 pistols in 2 days, so hurry and get there early for this great event. Every Glock sold in this two-day event gets a three-month free range membership inside the amazing new firearms range at the Ozarks. That's a $200 value by itself. You get a high-quality Glock double pistol bag for two firearms and extra clips, a free box of ammo for your new purchase, and a high-end Glock coffee mug as well. And to top it off, everyone that purchases a new Glock during this event will be put into a drawing for a new Glock themselves. It's all during Glock Days tomorrow and Saturday at Ozark Sportsman Supply, Highway 412 West, barely out of Springdale and Taneytown.
So for your Hog Update, yesterday, of course, was the SEC teleconference. And even during a bye week, yes, Chad Morris does go on to the SEC teleconference. He had this to say, giving you an update on quarterback Nick Starkel.
Yeah, Nick was back out there yesterday, had gained all the strength back in his arm or in his hand. And, you know, he worked out all day through, and would nothing lead me to believe that he wouldn't be back 100% ready to go for next week.
So that's big news, because you got to have your quarterback healthy, even if he's good enough to play. You still want him 100% healthy, and going up against Kentucky, you're going to need him. So Nick Starkel is good to go, or at least is on his way to be good to go up against Kentucky. So that's big news as well. Also, with this red-white game that's happening this Saturday in Barnhill, and it's at 3 p.m., and everyone's got a lot of excitement. Apparently, the encouragement from the University of Arkansas and their social media, and this is all for you fans out there that are planning on going to this game, they are encouraging everyone to wear their throwback attire. So if you have anything...
Who still has throwback attire from that era?
A lot of people do. Do you not?
No.
You don't have like a championship shirt or anything? Surely.
Maybe. There might be something in the back of a drawer, back of a... I don't know. But here's the problem. How many of us out there would it still fit? I mean, honestly, how many has clothes from 30 years ago, 25 years ago, that would still fit?
I do.
No, you don't.
I do.
You don't have anything from 30 years ago
that
fits.
Well, not 30 years ago, no.
Exactly.
But 20 years ago, I do. I do.
You have stuff that when you that make you 10, 11... It still fits?
Yeah.
I don't believe you.
You don't understand how fat of a kid I was, Tommy. I was a large individual when I was a kid. But no, listen, I still got, and I'm serious about this, Tommy. I still got a Corliss Williamson Apex jersey that's red. And it's like high quality. It's got the stitching and everything.
You know, actually, now that I think about it,
I
probably stuff because I actually weigh less now than I did then.
See, so, look at us. We're getting better with our weights as the years go on. Not many people can say that, Tommy.
I go through these purging stages like every 5 or 7 or 8 years. I'll just start throwing stuff away, you know.
But even like stuff from championship era times? I mean, that's...
No, I've still got some old t-shirt. I don't know. But I don't know how much that championship stuff I had.
Well, even old school stuff. You still have like stuff that has the hog running through the A type stuff?
I know I got like one of them old... stupid Reebok windsuit somewhere.
Yeah. Well, see, here's the thing. I'm trying to decide, because I'm going to the red-white game up in Fayetteville at Barnhill, because I'm really excited about it. So I'm trying to decide, do I go as an astute member of the media? Or do I go as just a fan who wants to wear some throwback?
Yeah.
Because if I want to be throwback, I'll wear that Corliss Williamson jersey. I will do it.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
Kevin says on Facebook, hats. Yeah, I think all got hats laying around. That's right.
Oh, yeah, hats. And what is it, the six-pack of bottled Coca-Colas that have the 1994? I think everybody has one
of
those.
Your hats don't fit. Your head's a lot bigger now than it was then. So
I don't even know how I can get it through the front door.
I know it.
Honestly. No, I do not. I think my brother has more of that stuff more than anything. So I may have to scrounge through and see what he has.
I don't hoard a lot of that stuff, but I'm a bad pack rat. But the clothes is not one thing I hoard.
I don't either, but if it's something of like that type of value, like a Razorback stuff, old school Razorback stuff, I do.
I'm the kind of guy, this would have been the thing I threw away 3 months ago. Now I need it. That's the way it always works, right? The thing you throw away, you need the next week. So
yeah,
the thing I hadn't used in a decade, well, I'm going to throw that away. I'm going to give that away. Now I need it, you know?
Well, how about this? And actually, Nick just tweeted in at us, and I think this is a great idea too. You know, if you don't have any of that old school Razorback stuff, just wear like 1990s apparel. Like, have windbreaker suits, like, go in there, like, with the styles.
Ty Richardson's all over this. He's got plenty of old school apparel.
Yeah, he's got a lot of vintage stuff over there.
This will be no problem.
Yeah, he's got that. He's got that. And what was some other, like, you got to get a bowl cut. Wasn't that in style back then? Was it the bowl cut that was really big in the mid-90s? I don't know. You just got to make it feel like it's a 90s night,
right,
if you will. So if you can't wear any Razorback apparel, wear that. That's all I have. So, but yeah, a lot of people are texting and tweeting in of the things that they have and the apparel that they have that they're going to rock. Listen, hey, if you got it, go ahead and roll with it. And also, I guess they're going with the old school because they also put up a video on social media that apparently as students, you have a chance to win an old school arcade, like an actual arcade game with like Pac-Man and stuff that's shaped like an old arcade. So I guess if you need it in the dormitory or in the frat house, there you go. And speaking of, real quick, this is a long clip, so we're not going to play it in its entirety. But speaking of basketball, yesterday, the Razorback basketball Twitter account, Facebook account, Instagram account, everybody put up this mic'd up practice with Eric Musselman. And it's about 4 minutes long. And if you want to go check it out, go see it on their Twitter account. But Tommy, just listen to some of the things that Eric Musselman says. And I know he hasn't coached a game yet. But just hearing some of his comments and how he runs his practices and how he handles it, it's just getting people more and more excited. Take a listen.
We're in training camp right now. Like, get in a defensive stance. Jimmy, you're standing like this. We're not playing a game tomorrow. You're in training camp. You know how many people asked me if we were going two-a-days? Let's go. Okay, we're college basketball players playing in the SEC in the Power Five. Everybody on the baseline, let's do two up and backs. We must not be warm or somebody close the doors. There's too much wind in here.
I'm not going to be easy on you. Don't miss layups. We're shooting for perfection when we're 5-on-0, okay? And I'm not going to back off you. Like, I'm not going to say, oh, blow it off. It's just a missed layup. We're going to keep coming at you every day until eventually our habits are really, really good.
Feet and hands, feet and hands. Good. Good job. Way to shoot it, J5.
So there, yeah, I said it's a 4-minute clip, but yeah. Just hearing those things and just, again, I don't know what was going on in practices beforehand, and maybe that's pretty common. If someone has played basketball, they say, hey, that happened all the time. But just to see these things and to see these videos and to see the hype train that's getting put together, mm-hmm. I mean, it's pretty incredible.
That ought to sell some tickets.
To the red-white game?
No, I mean, just for the regular season. People ought to be more excited about, even if it's one of these mini packs that you can buy 4 or 5 games and it includes the Kentucky.
Yeah.
Because
listen, Arkansas has a fantastic home SEC schedule. Mm-hmm. Not non-conference. It's non-conference is a little lacking, but home SEC schedule is going to be great. I'd be curious to know what the season ticket sales look like this year compared to the past few years.
Let's face it, though, they haven't been bad, though.
No, that's what I'm saying. They haven't been bad.
They've been in the 12,000 to 14,000 range under, really going back, Pelfrey and Mike. I mean, they haven't struggled to sell what I think is well beyond a bare minimum of tickets.
Oh, yeah. No, they've never had an issue there.
Lower bowl. I mean, you go try to buy something in the lower bowl, it's onesies and two. It's onesies in the corners. You can't put four together in the lower bowl. You know, I mean, if you want four, you're going to have to go on the upper deck, and you can probably get something on the sidelines. And that's where I've got a couple seats in the upper deck behind one, the home bench. And I think those are great seats. I'd rather sit there because it's easier to get in and out of. You go up about 7 steps and boom, you're right at your seats. You know, I think they're very convenient.
Mm-hmm.
You got a great view of everything.
Think they'll have a game where they get 20K in there this year?
Yeah, Kentucky for sure. If, you know,
Saturday, can't wait.
Yeah.
I've never been more excited for an Arkansas-Kentucky game than I am this year.
Recruiting Thursday brought to you by Razorback Camper Sales. Exit 1 off of the bypass in Hot Springs are closing out the 2019s right now. Be sure and check out the 26-foot Salem bunkhouse. Everything you need, including power awnings, power jacks, slide out, fireplace, everything. $23,952 or just $246 a month. It's at Razorback Camper Sales. Exit 1 off of the bypass in Hot Springs. I think there'll be a couple games, particularly some Saturdays, as if the weather's good and all the, you know, because this is a state that if you get ice on the road, you know, you're going to get the people in Benton and Washington County, and that's it, because mm-hmm. that's just the way it is with the terrain around here. But weather good, Saturday, yeah, I think you're going to have several crowds. It may not be busting at the seams 20,000, but, you know, 17,000 plus, I think, could be on a couple of occasions if this team is as good as I think they possibly could. You know, Nick laid it out.
Got potential.
They got potential to score some points. The height is one thing that's going to be a problem.
Yeah. So. And I'm not saying Connor Vanover is going to be just the game changer, but having him alone, though, is going to be huge if you are able to get him eligible.
If you're able to say he's not eligible.
Well, I know. That's what I'm saying. If you're able to get him eligible, you could be able to pull it off. So, yeah, it's there's going to be a few great games there and a lot of excitement there as well. By the way, Jeremy and Rogers texted in our Cherokee Casino hotline saying, "Dear Lord Tommy, please wear a windsuit." Did you have a windsuit when you were, because you were what, college around that time? High school, college?
I graduated high school in 94.
Okay. So yeah, you were, so did you have a windsuit?
Yeah, everybody had windsuits back then.
What color was it? Or did you have multiple ones?
Oh, I've got multiple ones. Yeah.
Why don't you have those? Why'd you throw those away?
Because they're not in style anymore.
Well, you could be the trendsetter. Make a comeback on it. Tyler in Greenwood says, bowl cut, red, white, windbreaker pants with white tube socks showing and clean white Reebok tennis shoes.
There you go. That's how you do it right
there. If that's not 1994, I don't know what is. Having Boys to Men play on your tape deck as you're driving in.
Yep.
Man, that would be great.
You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light, proud sponsor of Arkansas Athletics.
Since it is a recruiting Thursday, we got to talk some recruiting, and there's no better person to do it with than Richard Davenport of the Arkansas Democrat Gazette, which we welcome in on the Cherokee Casino Hotline. Good morning, Richard. How you doing this morning, man?
I'm not going to lie to you. After trying to follow Tom Murphy, I'm a little nervous, guys.
Well, it's okay.
He said you would have a hard time with it.
I'm not going to lie to you. I'm a little nervous.
Well, that's okay. Well, let's just power through it, man. We'll get through it together, and you'll do just fine. Because there's a lot of things going on the recruiting side of things. But it is a bye week for Arkansas. So just, Richard, kind of give us an update on how these bye weeks were treated by this coaching staff for Razorback football. Where are they at? What are they doing? Because obviously they're recruiting hot and heavy. But what's the situation they're in right now?
Oh, they'll be out. They'll be out and about, seeing high school games, visiting high school, high schools, and checking on some prospects, and just utilizing the downtime for recruiting, obviously. And also see some junior college games too, for immediate help as far as for next year. But they'll be traveling the roads and be in the airways.
What will be the areas they will concentrate on? Obviously, Texas has always been an area where they seem to send more coaches than any other area.
Yeah, no doubt, no doubt. They'll be in Texas. Sure, they'll be in Oklahoma, Tennessee, kind of like the regional footprint of their recruiting base. I think that's where you're going to be seeing most of the coaches.
Well, Richard, and it's also during this point in time, too, where I think people are curious about the scholarship limit and what they have really going on, because we know the transfers are going to be part of college football just in general, and I think it's going to be really difficult to have all your players stay. So as far as the scholarship situation that they're in right now, how many guys are they looking to sign in this upcoming 2020 class? Because they got about 50-plus freshmen on the team right now, so there's only a limited amount of space.
Yeah, I mean, right now you're sitting at 15. You're probably going to look at, 8 to 9 more. But at the same time, that'd be 23, 24. What's to say a kid or two on the team right now throws their name in the portal and that opens up another spot. So I've said this numerous times, and I know this is a broken record, but anytime a coach says we're looking to sign this number, it's always a fluid number.
Yeah, I can understand that, especially with recruiting. We're speaking with Richard Davenport of the Arkansas Democrat Gazette via the Cherokee Casino Hotline right now in the Morning Rush. Richard, just shifting gears a little bit, obviously basketball is still a big deal too. And since the last time we were able to catch up, they had a commit from Duncan Powell, who's a Huntington Prep kid, a power forward, 6'8". Now that's for the 2021 class, but a four-star player nonetheless. What can you tell us about him and why he chose Arkansas?
Well, when he visited Arkansas recently, I mean, he even admitted that he almost committed during the visit. So whenever a kid says that, you know that they're in strong contention. And then he just thought it over. He didn't want to make an emotional decision and thought it over, obviously, and chose to pull the trigger. He's got a great relationship with the coaching staff, but they just did a great job of just breaking down how they can utilize him. Also improve his game, and that's something that Coach Musselman and them do. They're very detailed in analyzing and during film study, analyzing a kid, his strengths and his weaknesses. And kids want to hear that. I mean, obviously, they want to improve and go to the next level. And also with all the NBA experience and the background that they have, as far as Coach Musselman and other members of the staff, that's just an attractive selling point. And you know, with him, one thing about Duncan, he's a guy that could definitely help you, you know, as a wing, and a guy that can do a lot of things, score inside, outside, and very versatile. And Coach Musselman's done very, very well with guys like that, has versatility to be able to play inside, outside.
Probably heard some of the video, some of the audio from the video that we were playing in the intro of Coach Musselman, and he talks about coaching. Hey, I'm not going to let up on you. I'm going to coach you hard. And some of the audio when they had him mic'd up in practice, you know, I think experience tells you that the great ones want to be coached hard. I think that's attractive to players that want to hone their skills. You know, a lot of times you think about, you know, people say you don't want to coach them too hard, and players shy away from tough situations. I think that's attractive, Richard, that you got a coach that wants to make him better and then that's going to coach him hard. What's your experience out there in talking to these kids? I think Musselman's style is attractive.
No, there's no doubt. I mean, that is just kind of funny. Yesterday, I was talking to my next-door neighbor, and unsolicited, he just started talking about Coach Musselman and saying how much energy he has. And he's just fired up all the time. And, you know, let's face it, human nature is to be lazy. Yep. And you have to be pushed to get through that laziness. And obviously, I think this coaching staff is going to do that. Because you know, you just it's just natural not to push yourself as hard as other people will push you. So I think you make a good point, Tommy. Guys that really want to be great want to be pushed. Now, some guys that say that until they're pushed, that's a part of recruiting and analyzing a kid and talking to high school coaches or preps coaches. And ask him, how does the kid take coaching? How does he take being pushed? You look for those type kids because you want to stay away from the kids that say, yeah, I want to be pushed, but in reality, they don't.
Well, and also on top of that, too, Richard, I've noticed that just from the audio clips from Eric Musselman and some of the things I've heard, he likes to bring up NBA teams, NBA players when he does a lot of different things. For instance, when they start doing a drill, I believe when he first arrived, he said, this is the same exact drill that the Golden State Warriors run every practice. On the latest video yesterday, he says, LeBron James is in the gym right now trying to get better. The greatest player in all of basketball is trying to get better. And I think that that's something that, even though it seems so simple in making a comparison, it resonates with kids when you start, because that's what they want to be. They want to be in the NBA. They want to be on an NBA team. And when you start throwing those comparisons out that resonate with these kids, I think that goes a long way, too.
No, I have no doubt about that. I mean, especially when you're in the middle of a practice and you're exhausted and you're tired, you're mentally and physically tired, and that's another way to push the kids, is not necessarily, you know, yelling at them or anything like that, but pointing out, you know, yeah, here's LeBron James. Here's these guys that have been in your position and go the extra mile, and that's why they're in the position that they're in. They're the great one of the greatest basketball players in the world, and they got there through hard work and concentration and fighting through the tough times. And I think that obviously bits and pieces like that, definitely when you're a kid, you go, okay, I got to fight through this. I mean, it does, because that's they're watching those guys on TV all the time, and they idolize them.
Do you have an update on the situation with Isaac McBride? Because I know that he took a visit, at least after leaving Kansas to Arkansas. Do you have any update on that situation?
All I know is he's supposed to look at some other schools and try to come up with a decision. Obviously, since he would enroll in January, he doesn't have to make a quick decision. But at the same time, I think he wants to make a decision quick enough before the early signing period so he can let whichever school he decides to go to, let them know that he's coming so that he has a spot. So I think that's probably the timeline. Could be wrong, but I think that's what's happened.
Another question I have for you, Richard, is something we discussed earlier on the show, is about recruiting and obviously how important it is in college sports, no matter what sport it is. It comes down to getting the players in order to execute a game plan that's going to make you a successful team. But in a lot of cases, though, we've seen it to where, you, especially in college football, you've had big-time recruiting classes, big-time players go to schools year in and year out, but yet the success doesn't translate. I look at Kevin Sumlin in Texas A&M and some of the classes that they had and how great they were, but it never translated onto the field. Is it possible to where you go so much into recruiting, you go all in on recruiting and recruiting and recruiting and recruiting, that sometimes as a head coach and as a coaching staff, you may forget or put on the back burner a little bit the development and the coaching itself?
Well, I think you either got it or you don't in that area. I think if you're a great coach and you emphasize fundamentals, you're very detailed, all that'll work out. And I think sometimes, a lot of times, you see these coaches get these great recruiting classes and year in and year out and don't necessarily produce at a high level, or at least a high level once in a while. I mean, instead of 8 or 9 wins, hit the 10-11 win mark occasionally. I think you just have to kind of look at yourself in the mirror and ask yourself, are you doing all the right things on the field and in the classroom or in the meeting rooms to get the max out of each kid? And so at the same time, the recruiting classes are really kind of an inexact science. You can't measure the heart, the potential kids have, you know, they may have maxed out a little bit in high school. There's so many different factors that go into that, too.
All right, real quick before we let you get out of here, Richard, I want your thoughts on this. With the California law that's been putting into place of as far as allowing players to make profit and money off of their image and likeness, it's not an NCAA rule, but California has definitely changed the conversation and started putting some pressure on the NCAA. What are your thoughts behind this law? Do you think that it'll go into place, and how do you feel like that'll affect recruiting if it's put into place?
Well, we have been debating that on our message board for quite some time, ever since that law was signed. There's so much unknown, really, but I always go back to unintended consequences. How many times do you see Congress or local or lawmakers make laws that, and it seems like a great idea, then once the law is put in place, there's a lot of unintended consequences. And you look at the portal or the red shirt rule. The red shirt rule, no one saw people would start, transferring after 4 games. No one saw that. So there's a lot, and they're going to have, it looks like they're going to tweak that. So if it goes into law, or the NCAA agrees to that, which there's going to be a tremendous amount of pressure because it's from California, and also if they don't make some changes, Congress could come in and put some pressure on you. I think it's an unknown situation how it will work out. I am concerned that larger markets will have an advantage just because of the opportunities for corporations and different businesses versus a small market. If I'm Clemson, I would be kind of concerned, yeah, because you're in South Carolina sharing talent and sharing resources in South Carolina, which is not the richest state in the country, versus California, Florida, Texas, and many other markets. It's going to be an interesting ride if all this goes forward. Unintended consequences is my biggest take on that, just from the standpoint that there's so many things that could happen after it's enacted, yeah, that you don't foresee.
Yeah, it's certainly a Pandora's box now. See, Congress wants to get involved and maybe make a federal law. So who knows where this is headed, and what corner the NCAA could be backed into by the government getting involved. That's interesting thing to watch. Yeah. Hey, one thing before you go, give us an update on Martavius French, Arkansas's commit in football. He's taking an official this weekend to Tennessee. What's going on with him?
You said it right. He is taking an official along with Bryson Easton, the other linebacker on this team that Arkansas is trying to get on board too. You know, I just in talking to Martavius, all I can say is I just feel like that Arkansas is going to be tough to beat, even though he's taking this official visit. But let's face it, guys. I mean, it's totally changed now. Used to, kids would shut down recruiting when they would commit. Not always, but a lot of times, most of the time they would. Nowadays, most kids, after they commit, do take other visits, and it's just the climate that we live in. And Nick Saban hasn't been able to stop it. Nobody's been able to stop it. The kids have the power, and you just got to let them do their thing, and hopefully that they stick. And I think he will, because he was privately committed to Arkansas for quite some time, and just loves the staff. But at the same time, in recruiting, there's no guarantees.
Ty had pointed out on Twitter that he had had Arkansas commit in his Twitter bio, and now that's been removed. I don't know whether that's something to read into or not, but that's probably something you don't like if you're Chad Morris.
No, if you're a coach, no. I guarantee you the coaches, they see that, and that they're kind of a little bit alarmed.
If you're Jeremy Pruitt, you like it, though.
You love it, absolutely.
Richard Davenport of the Arkansas Democrat Gazette, always appreciate you hopping on with us. Richard, have a great weekend, my man. We'll catch up with you next Thursday, all right?
All right, guys. Take care.
All right. Richard Davenport and all guests join us via the Cherokee Casino Hotline here on The Morning Rush. You hear me talk about Sassy's, because I'm going to tell you about it. Listen, I love this place. I love the barbecue nachos. The John Neighbor special is still not in place yet, but that's okay. It's in the works.
Oh, it's on the menu.
It's not listed. You just handed me this menu, and I do not see my name anywhere on this.
It's not official, but I mean, the thing you call the John Neighbor special is available.
That's true. The actual itself
it can
option.
Be ordered.
That's right. Right now, it's
your
listed.
Self-proclaimed. Maybe that should be your birthday present.
Yeah.
Got to get Allen over there to actually come up with the John Neighbor special.
I can't think of a better birthday gift than that.
That'd be the greatest birthday gift of all time.
It would be. It would be for me, especially since he just has boring barbecue nachos listed as it. That's the item. Come on, man.
So now you want something that you're proclaiming is boring to be named after you, so that would make it not boring?
Yeah, exactly. I am full of excitement. And
full
and
of something.
Yeah, full
of yourself, I think.
I think I'm full of a lot of things, but I am not full of Sassy's right now, and I wish I was. I wish I was there because they have some great food options, folks. Of course, their barbecue nachos is my favorite. They have the great catfish, the best catfish on Weddington, as Nick Mason has coined out. Also have some brisket tacos. You can try some great burgers and award-winning smoked wings. With college football coming up this Saturday, no Razorback game. You want to still watch the game, head over to Sassy's with their two locations in Fayetteville, off of College and off of Weddington.
The wings are the truth. I'm telling you, great appetizer. If you got, a group going, get you some of the wings. The honey sriracha is unbelievable.
Well, I'm about to say, listen, they say it's award-winning smoked wings, and that's no lie. Ooh. It is award-winning. Honey sriracha, good. Huh? I figured you'd be good. A naked guy.
They are. that comment could go a lot of ways.
Yeah.
The honey sriracha are just, those are the best wings.
Yeah. But see, I want to get those, but I just keep going back to the barbecue nachos, man. It's tough.
Well, you get that as an appetizer.
I guess. I need to start doing that. Instead of ordering the full order, I just get the half order of the barbecue nachos. But head over to Sassy's, folks. There are two locations in Fayetteville, off of College and off of Weddington. Really appreciate Richard coming on with us and talk a little recruiting with us. And, that's got to be, I do not envy Richard's job. Richard does a great job, but I do not envy it. Because to me, there is nothing, and I mean nothing, more frustrating or difficult to work with or deal with than recruiting. Because of just this type of stuff that you just mentioned, Tommy, which is a fair question, a fair thing to talk about. But you're talking about Richard, who now has to go in and figure out why a kid removed words from his Twitter bio of him being an Arkansas commit and what's the story behind it.
And he's going to Tennessee for an official visit this weekend.
That's right. And you got to go in through and figure it out why that's the case and why is it going on. And it's amazing. Listen, how it's become.
If I was one of these highly sought after high school prospects, I'd take every official. Well, you're allowed five?
I think so.
I'd take every one. Why wouldn't you go to a great college football game?
Oh,
why wouldn't you see everything you could possibly see on someone else's dime?
You'd be stupid not to.
Why?
Yeah.
I mean, particularly if you come from a background in a place where you haven't gotten a chance to travel, you haven't gotten a chance to see a lot, why wouldn't you?
Does Hawaii do official visits?
I'm all in on that, yeah.
Yeah, if Hawaii comes calling.
Is there a school in the Bahamas?
Even if I'm a five-star quarterback, that I'm not going to Hawaii, but if they call and say, hey, official visit, we'll get you one. Hey, sure, yeah, I think I can pencil you in.
Yeah.
I'll just tell Nick Saban I'm going to Hawaii. I'm sure he'll understand.
Yeah, no kidding.
I don't know how they do their official visits, but no, I'm with you. If you have them, take them. I don't blame any of these kids.
Yeah.
I don't know why, but some kids don't. You know, and power to them that stay committed and stay there for the long haul and don't change their minds.
You can take unofficials, but I think the officials are the ones that the school can provide.
Yeah.
Pay for part of the expenses and your parents and, you know, provide certain things. The unofficials, I think you're on your own. But,
yeah,
I'd take all the officials I was allowed.
I love to travel.
Yeah.
And if it's on your dime, I mean, you know you're going to get the best food, the best atmosphere, and you're going to be taken care of and catered to. So I'm all for it.
Absolutely. I'm all about catering. All about it.
I know you are, Tom.
Yeah. So, I mean, I don't blame these kids for doing it. So,
your number one source of local news and information you need.
Like the Bud Light Morning Rush podcast? Check out the Halftime Pod at hitthatline.com.